The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Peter King today on the Cardinals game this Sunday against Buffalo. Peter King, football morning in America, none better than Peter. He joins us every week. You'll hear from Peter King. That comes up at 10:20. I am distracted today because the Masters is on. Look, I'm not a great golfer. Like, if you break 100, you're supposedly one of the better players. Like, we're not the average. The average is like 110. I tried telling Eric this when he took up golf a while back. A senior executive vice president of Everything and Nothing, Eric Sorensen, joins us. And I will say, as Eric jumps on in, we're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. They are where we do our work with Sports 360 AZ with our money. That's at Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. What are you shooting now, by the way? Because you've been playing a lot.
No, have not been playing a lot. No.
Oh, it sounds like you've been playing a lot.
In the ones.
Are you?
Yeah.
I think you're sandbagging. Because when
I'm not good.
Do you watch golf on TV? Like Xander Schauffele just gagged on a birdie putt?
I will watch the big tournaments. I have not gotten to the point where I'll watch the Honda Open on a Sunday in June.
But... Yeah, I'm not that either. Not that, by the way, if it sounds like there's a blower, yeah, it's the blower. It's that day. So it's just what we do here on home shows. So Eric and I... Are you not really going to be in the Masters then this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it kind of sucks because we're in the heart of the football season. So I'll have to, especially the next couple of days, I'm sure I'll have it on here at the house. But on the weekend, I'm sure I'll catch some of it. May not be top priority depending on what football games are on, but I'll definitely watch it. It's just weird. I mean, it's the middle of November. And the Masters is happening. It's just so 2020, right?
But it feels good. It feels good.
It does. It's not raining there right now? Because last night I saw it was like a 90% chance of rain.
No, Tiger just hooked one. He's telling everybody, look out. Get out of the way. He's in the trees. We'll have Peter here in a few minutes. So Eric is not going to be on the stream show as much after today. And he had, well, I'll just let... I'll let you tell people what's going on. This is good. After today, you'll see Eric, I don't know, whenever he wants to jump on, but he's got a cool new opportunity. And what's going on? I'll just let you jump on in on that.
So I've accepted a strategic marketing position with NASM, which is out by where you live, Brad. That's the National Academy of Sports Medicine. It's a big fitness group. They help trainers get certified. Essentially, I'm going to be helping build that brand with Greg Esposito, who some people
Espo
may be familiar with, Espo. Yeah. And I start on Monday. I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, I'm still going to be around. I'm just probably not going to be here as much. So,
yeah, and this is great. This is a tremendous opportunity. And when Eric and I met on this a few weeks back, and it's, you know, through the years, I've always said, if something cool comes along, go do it. Go do it. Go chase it. And this sounds like a really cool opportunity. It's not like medicine is going away. You know, it's not like – it's athletic trainers, right?
Yeah. It's basically they help athletic trainers get certified. That's their main goal. And they have fitness programs for people that like to work out at home and things like that. So a lot of it's going to be – social media strategy, a lot of the same things, some storytelling, some writing, some blogging, some editing, a lot of the same things I'm doing for you, Brad. So just on the fitness side, not necessarily on the sports side. Sports is cousin.
Well, and you're not doing it for me, you're doing it for yourself. I mean, this is a lifestyle deal over here. If you like doing it, and Eric said, I'd really like to keep doing it. And I'm like, of course. So that's going down. And I'm very proud of you, and I think it's an awesome opportunity.
Thank you.
Espo's a nitwit. That's the deal on Greg. He just is. By the way,
he stole me. So let's just call it as.
Then he's a loser. He's never coming on the show again. No, but in all seriousness, it's Chris Paul's story. So Espo is riding over with Ralph at Arizona Varsity, which is great. And I think Arizona Varsity is doing very good work. I put some stuff up over there that's more on the personal development side of people. Like, you guys hear me at times go on my little rants about, if you're going to watch, like tonight, I actually think tonight watching Colts and Titans is pretty good TV tonight.
Yeah, it's a good game. It's a very rare good game. Thursday night good game. So.
But if you're watching the Jets and Patriots and you don't have anybody in your fantasy league, and even if you do, you need to go on a date. You need to shut down sports for a bit and go read a book. You need to go on a walk. You need to go do something, anything, because in the sports calendar, it is like this weekend. There's not a chance that I'm going to move very much from golf to football, high school on Friday, Saturday, college. We'll see about the ASU game. Sunday, the Cardinal game. And it's nonstop. And I run into these guys. It's primarily guys I'm talking to on this. That they end up just being all consumed with sports and forget about their wife, forget about their kids, forget about going on dates, forget about relationships. And they just get all wound up with sports. And then they wake up and like 35 and it's, what the heck happened? Well, the beast got you, you know, it's fine in moderation. And so Espo's been riding over there. I've been riding over there. Not very often, you know, this is the priority. But Chris Paul on Espo's deal, I was going to have him on about Chris Paul. Would you do Chris Paul?
Yeah.
Would you do, if you're the Suns, so like Kent this morning wrote, I don't know if you saw it, but Kent this morning wrote that he would not trade Mikal Bridges. He would not give up the 10th pick. Well, you got to give up something. And I'm not saying Mikal Bridges is the deal. These people that say, well, go give up Kelly Oubre and Ricky Rubio. That's like saying, look, here are my, I'm not going to call them garbage or trash because they're not, but you're taking players that aren't that desirable here. And if you're on Oklahoma City side of the street, why would you say, well, that's a great deal. Now, if it's Kelly Oubre and the 10th pick and you have Chris Paul and Ricky Rubio and Ricky Rubio moves into your backup point guard, because I like veteran leadership and veteran dudes late in their careers when it comes to the playoffs. Last time I checked, this is a team that needs to get to the playoffs, not counting bubble ball.
I mean, Chris Paul is 35, but he's still good. Like, he's not an old 35. He's a young 35. He's been pretty healthy. He was an all-star last year. And if, you know, what's the big thing? We need stars in Phoenix. The Suns yes. need stars. Every NBA team needs more stars. Well, maybe Chris Paul is the best quote-unquote star the Suns are going to be able to get this year, and if you've got a chance to, if you know, it would make Devin Booker happy having Chris Paul.
Well, it would send a message. Look, because here's the thing. You and I have been in agreement on this, that in the past, there's not a chance that the Suns could attract a free agent, but they could certainly be used by free agents for more money. And that's what's gone on here. Yeah. Oh, Phoenix, it looks pretty good. Yeah, you know, I'd really be interested in it. And then at the last minute, not so fast, and then I'm out of here. And so the only way that they are going to be able to get a star here to change all that deal is to do it by trade. They're not going to be able to do it by free agency. And, you know, Robert, a few years back, flirted around with Kevin Love. It didn't turn out to be anything. I'm trying to think of the guy with the Clippers that used the Suns. And then he got sent to Detroit. Who am I thinking of? Blake Griffin.
Okay. And don't forget about LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, they put a huge banner
out in front
of the arena.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's
right. No, you're
right. That was like a thing. And he was really interested. And the Suns were really interested. Oh. And then, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, I'm going to San Antonio because they
win.
Of
all the places, go to San Antonio. Thanks.
You can give me the agents and the inner circle say, look at all the dollars you're going to make. The player says, yeah, but I'm going to lose. So I'd rather go to a situation where I have a chance to win. And
it's not, Brad, like the Suns are going to be contending for a title, but the Thunder are in the middle of a rebuild. So if you're Chris Paul, it's like, I could go to Phoenix. I could play with Booker and Ayton. They've got some good young pieces, obviously Mikal Bridges being one of them. And, oh, by the way, Monty Williams is the head coach. Chris Paul played for Monty Williams. Like, there are some.
Yeah, but
there
I'll
are
disagree
some,
with
some,
you on
some
this.
Dots to connect.
I'll disagree with you on this. I think if you bring Chris Paul in, look, the NBA West, what did it come down to? The Joker against LeBron. And if you don't have anybody inside that could match up with the Joker, you know, Jokic up in Denver, for those of you not familiar. If you do not have anybody that, if you don't have a couple of bodies that you can throw at him, then you're going to be done anyways because Denver will beat you. But I think if you have somebody, and God bless DeAndre Ayton, if he finally becomes the consistent player that I think he can be, instead of these fanboys saying, oh, he's awesome and he's amazing. No, he hasn't done it consistently. You know, he got in trouble down in the bubble, for crying out loud. Just grow up and play. So I feel like if they were to get Chris Paul with Devin Booker, I'm assuming DeAndre Ayton would get better. And if they kept Bridges, fine. Trading the 10th pick to me, like, I disagreed with Ken on that. Why do you hold on to the 10th pick? You've been getting 10th picks for a long, 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 right. long time. So this 10th pick, if this 10th pick leads you to get Chris Paul, and if that 10th pick turns out to be a star player, well, at some point, because you've been driven so far down into the ditch that you haven't been able to get out, this is the piece I think that could get you out. To your point, he's a young 35. He has 2 years left on his deal, which I really like because in 2 years he'll be done. And you're going to have $84.5 million coming off your payroll. Guess what? You can go chase somebody else.
And I think the Suns, this is the next step for the Suns. I don't think Suns fans should be like, okay, well, we won eight in a row in the bubble, and now next year let's try to get to the NBA Finals. No, it should be, let's build on that and let's make the playoffs. I don't care if it's the 7 or the 8 seed. Just get back to the playoffs. Get your doors blown off by the Lakers. And then the next year, you can maybe take the next step and get into the second round.
So
like you can't, like you said, Brad, the West is so loaded. Yeah. The Suns can't just, you know, rebuild this thing in 2 months.
Well, but again, is the West loaded top to bottom because the Clippers flamed out? They fired Doc. Their roster is going to go through a bit of transformation. Sneaky Steve Kerr is sitting over there in the weeds saying, yeah, we stink, we blow. No, it was a weird year, and they just took their medicine, and they're going to come back next year.
Healthy.
And when the draft happens and free agency hits, when all this stuff happens, I guarantee you that Golden State's not going to be sitting over there. I think San Antonio's a team on the downward slope.
I mean, Houston, the Rockets are a mess.
Yeah, they're a mess. And so
OKC's rebuilding. There is opportunity for the Suns to get there.
Portland is just, you know, Damian Lillard at some point.
Utah's good. Denver's
really good. I think Utah's really good.
There's a lot of – Dallas is going to be in the playoffs next year. That's the problem with the West. There's so many teams that are better than Phoenix. Yeah. Just get to the playoffs.
I had something that happened to me yesterday that kind of hit me between the solar plexus in a sad and funny sort of way. And it's a baseball story. I know it's not baseball season, but when I saw Trevor Bauer winning the Cy Young Award, it's just like, come on. How many times do we have to see players, and it doesn't matter what sport they're in, that come through Phoenix and how the Diamondbacks just absolutely, totally crapped the bed when they had Archie Bradley and Trevor Bauer, and what happened to the two of them here in Arizona? And that to me was
in
a tough one.
In one draft, right?
Yes. Yeah, and four picks apart.
Good scouting. I mean,
Francisco Lindor was in that draft.
Yeah.
Okay, you didn't have to take both of them. So that happened. And then, you know, on the college end, I'll get into that a little bit later because while you and I were talking, somebody who would know about the ASU-Cal game called me. So I'm going to talk about to that person during the break. And then Peter King. Peter King is on the other side. We'll talk Cardinals and Buffalo Bills. Football Morning in America's Peter King. He zooms on in next. So every week, Peter King is with us. Football Morning in America. Peter knows all, tells all around the National Football League. The Bills are coming to the Valley to take on the Cardinals. I caught up with Peter on that and others earlier.
There were two very significant moves made by the league. One, the prospect of putting an eighth team in the playoffs, meaning that, you know, and we can talk about this, but boy, I'll tell you what, I'd be I'd be fuming if I were the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. And let me, and first of all, it's not certain there's going to be eight teams in the playoffs. Right. If no games need to be rescheduled, if there is not a week 18, there's not going to be an eighth team in the playoffs. But I think that's pie in the sky to think that there aren't going to be some postponed games. As we sit here right now, Brad, there's only 10 teams out of 32 left that have a bye. So the rest of the season. So the odds of two teams playing each other that have a game postponed for whatever reason, it's a long shot. But so the only way they will do this is if there's a bunch of teams that potentially could play an uneven number of games. The NFL basically didn't want a 9-6 team to make the playoffs and a 9-17 not to, because which honestly still could happen with this.
Sure.
But and the reason I say that the Steelers have got to have steam coming out of their ears, go back to week four of this season when, because of the outbreak in Tennessee, the Steelers game in week four got postponed. And so they were in the middle of practicing that week. It was either Wednesday or Thursday. Game gets postponed, and now the NFL says, oh, by the way, this is your bye week. So they've practiced that week. It's not a bye week.
Right, right.
And so basically, you know, other than playing the game, you know, the Steelers never had that traditional bye week. And look, so what that means is if this does happen, the Steelers could go 15-1. And they could win the top seed in the AFC. And just imagine if a very physical team comes into Pittsburgh on, on wild card weekend as the eighth seed in the AFC. Let's say it's the Raiders, okay? The Raiders come in and they beat the crap out of the Steelers, who already are, you know, needing a week off because they have played 13 weeks in a row without a bye. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, if I'm the Steelers, I'm just shaking my head and saying, this is absurd, but what are you going to do?
Do you believe the Pittsburgh Steelers will make it through unscathed, challenging the Dolphins?
I doubt it. I mean, they just, in 2007, which was the closest with the Patriots, they're beating teams 59-22. You know, the Steelers are not killing. I mean, I'm not saying they – who did they beat bad? They beat the Browns badly. But they're not really killing people. You know, they're just – they're winning games. And, again, great teams win games. It's fine if you win them narrowly. Nobody cares. Nobody looks back at the end of the year and say, boy, you barely won that one. So it's – that's the thing with the Steelers this year. I think they're vulnerable, but they just played at Tennessee, at Baltimore, and at Dallas. And at Dallas was a weird game, but at Tennessee and at Baltimore, they won them both at the end. But they're two of the top 10 teams in football on the road. So give them credit rather than saying, oh, well, you barely won.
The Cardinals and Seahawks play in 8 days from now. So, and the Seahawks have the Rams this Sunday. The Cardinals have Buffalo this Sunday. It's really interesting 8 days down here in the Valley, because in the middle of the season where it felt like things were starting to go a different direction, now the loss to Miami and Buffalo comes in here, Peter, and back to my question on that, what is going on with the Bills? What do you expect here on Sunday?
Well, you know, here's what you have right now with Josh Allen. Josh Allen had an MVP first month of the season. He had a Max Hall second month of the season. And so his ninth game of the season, he was great again. Really great. I mean, I watched a lot of that game. He was outstanding against Seattle. And Seattle doesn't have the best defense. I get it. But, boy, he was really, really good. And – so now what do you expect? If he plays like that, this is going to be a very hard game for Arizona to win. Now, it's going to be a hard game for them to win anyway. But Josh Allen on fire, you know, bull in a china shop, size of Roethlisberger, you know, evasiveness of Steve Young almost. He's at his peak. He's one of the best 6-7 quarterbacks in football. So that's rough. But you know what? At his peak, so was Kyler Murray, you know? So, I mean, I think it's going to be a great, great game. You know, one of the sad things is, really, I consider this immensely sad, and probably a lot of people don't really feel that way or think that way. But at the beginning of the season, I was talking to a friend of mine in Buffalo who is a huge Bills fan. And he said, yep, he said, we got an incredible road schedule this year. And I wasn't even thinking. I said, oh, what do you got? He goes, we're taking road trips this year to Vegas and to Phoenix. He said, Phoenix in the middle of November, what Buffalo will probably be. We are so fired up. And look, you don't know how many people have set up road trips to places who either can have scattered number of fans or no fans and now can't go. And, you know, you're not going to have another Buffalo road trip to Arizona until 2028.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that part of it is sort of a shame that, you know, if they're not going to go, you know, just to go and be around the Bills, that so many of those trips that so many people around the NFL were going to take are out. But I think this is one of the games of the weekend. I think it's tremendously fun. And Brad, you got to think about it this way too. If you look at the Buffalo Bills and what they're doing right now, you know, the Bills got kind of a rough schedule down the stretch, because they got to face, and again, I think San Francisco is going to be better right at the end than they are right now, but they got to play in San Francisco, you know, in Santa Clara, and they close with the Patriots and Dolphins. And again, there is something about the Patriots in Buffalo that I don't care if the Patriots are awful by then. That game's going to be a field goal game at the buzzer. It's just because the Bills and the Patriots always play these insane games. So this is a big game for the Bills, with Miami playing so well, nipping at their heels.
I'll let you go off that. Really enjoy the discussion and conversation. Stay well, Peter. Thanks.
All the best, Brad. Thank you.
There is Peter King, Football Morning in America, and again, the Peter King Podcast. Make sure that you check it out with Troy Vincent this week. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, so let's talk some college football, Eric. As we sit here, Arizona State is supposed to play Cal. That game is supposed to be on Saturday night. What if things turn in a direction in the next 48 hours with Cal or Arizona State, where suddenly players become positive tested? What if, I don't know, they had to move the game to Sunday? And what if they had to play around the same time as the Cardinals? It'd make for a pretty interesting Sunday. I'm just throwing out what ifs, but
that would be interesting. That would be definitely a unique thing if that said thing actually came to fruition. Well, but we are at the point, Brad. It is, you know, Thursday, and Cal should be getting on a plane, you know, tomorrow. So we've had all week. We've seen all these other cancellations, Monday, Tuesday, you know, yep. Big Ten had a couple of cancellations yesterday.
Yep.
Here we are on Thursday, the Pac-12. Are we playing? Are we not playing? It impacts a lot of people, another team, TV networks.
I mean, if you just, let's just say, happen to find out that, I don't know, 10, 12 players at Arizona State suddenly tested positive, and then you had to do contact tracing around those 10, 12 players, and, you know, I'm just just hypothetical. It was like a Utah situation last week, except now it's right here in our own backyard. So
we are spiking. It's not out of the question to think that, I know, ASU student athletes could get the virus, because
I guess
it is that time. So,
but if Cal, you know, has Cal been 100% cleared to come down here to play? They would get on a plane tomorrow to come down here. They always stay right by the stadium. There's a Hilton right by the stadium. They always stay at the Marriott or the Hilton. And they would have to get down here tomorrow, but maybe you need to buy a team a little bit more time just to get a team together. If, let's say, an entire position room for one of the two teams got hit by the virus and wiped out. So there's all sorts of possibilities. Do you think U of A is going to give USC a game?
No. And I should mention, Brad, that U of A was actually getting on the plane to go to Utah when they canceled the game. So maybe they still have some time to figure out Cal and ASU. I think it could be a letdown game for USC because they spent quite a bit on ASU. And I think the unknown of U of A not playing a game yet could be an advantage for U of A. I don't think U of A is going to be terrible, but I don't think they're going to be very good. And I think that USC has enough athletes to win fairly handily.
Oh, I agree. I think they should win handily. I think the minute that Kevin Sumlin's team faces adversity, they're done. I don't see a team with any fight. I'm not down there in that locker room. I'm just there on the periphery, talk to people. I think the idea that they're going to show up and play hard and well. Look, if they're in a game at halftime, that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
It's a total win for U of A. That's where that program is right now.
And U of A had a handful of players that transferred. They had a couple guys opt out. They lost one of their best offensive linemen, I believe, to injury, or he opted out. So they didn't have a ton to begin with.
Right.
And then they lost, you know, the Schuler brothers, one's at Texas Tech, and the other linebacker, Fields, he's gone. He transferred out. Those are experienced, like, three-year, going into their fourth year in the program guys. And now they're just going to have to plug and play with younger guys. And I just don't. How long is the leash going to be with Kevin Sumlin? You know,
they can't afford to buy him out.
Utah State already blew their
coach out. Yeah, Gary Anderson, see you later.
Bye. Like three games in the season, bye. And I know it's a buyout thing, but man, I mean, U of A football, what happened? Like Rich Rod had that thing going. Rich Rod couldn't get out of his own way. Rich Rod got let go. They bring in Kevin Sumlin, and it just has not been good. It hasn't even been average.
Is there a college game you're really looking forward to this weekend?
Well, I thought Alabama-LSU would have a little bit of intrigue just because it's Alabama-LSU, even though LSU is not good. And that game got scratched.
I'm reading Orgeron's book right now. And I'll give it to you when I get done. I'll mail it to you. It's really good.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, really good. Can't put it down. Really, really good. Bruce Feldman did a great job on it. Anyways, continue.
I was curious to see Maryland host Ohio State and someone actually maybe push Ohio State, but that game got canceled. And I guess I'm kind of on like this Big Ten thing because, you know, Michigan is struggling and they're playing Penn State that hasn't won a game yet. So whoever loses that game is pretty much done in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's Harbaugh done too already. They're already going down that path on Harbaugh.
I think they can't stop anybody in the past. They just have Michigan's just getting their defense is getting eaten up.
Where are you going Friday night?
I'm going to Chaparral at Centennial.
Ooh. That should be a game.
Should be a good game.
That should be a game.
Should be a good game. Two teams I haven't seen yet this year, so I'm excited for it. And I think your game, Highland and Chandler, I think Chandler is going to win.
Yeah.
But you will see Highland has a lot of good players. They have a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah, I'm doing that game for Yearview for Cox, doing the play-by-play. So I'm looking forward to that. It's Chandler plays Hamilton next week. So is this in our world, it's always, is this a trap game? Is this a look ahead game? And Brock Farrell, the coach at Highland, coached at Chandler High. They're very close. Highland almost beat Hamilton last week, a couple of turnovers. But yeah, I mean, tonight, I'm going to watch Titans Colts tonight. I'm going to watch tomorrow night. I'm doing a game. Saturday, you know, depending on what happens with ASU Cal, I think there's a lot of play up in the air. And I'll DVR USC U of A. I'll go hike or do something. And the Masters is going to be on all weekend.
Right.
And Sunday, I'm looking forward to seeing Josh Allen here. I think, you know.
For sure. Yeah.
The Cardinals are in this weird spot of a week from today, they're playing the Seahawks. And a week from today. And so everything built up for the Cardinals of, hey, we're going to beat Miami coming out of the bye. And then we've got Buffalo. And now, you know, this could end up being a three-game skid where it's not going to be pretty around here. So mm-hmm. as Peter was talking about not agreeing with Cliff and the kick, and he felt like Cliff should have gone for it. So, all right, on the other side, Andre Reed, the Hall of Famer on Larry Fitzgerald and much more. I caught up with Andre Reed earlier. That's next. Andre Reed is with us. It's a pleasure to talk to the Hall of Famer. Buffalo Bills are coming to Arizona to meet the Cardinals. I'm curious, from your view, the rebirth of the Bills. First time to possibly win the East since, mm-hmm. I think it was 96. What are you seeing on big picture as to why Buffalo has turned it around?
That's a good question. I mean, the NFL season's long, even though with what's going on with the pandemic, everybody starts 0-0, but this is a different year. The NFL this year is totally different because of the pandemic. And the Buffalo Bills are no different than any other team. But one thing that they have this year that has been a staple for it in that division for 20 years is Tom Brady is not there anymore. You take Tom Brady out of the equation and look what he's doing in Tampa Bay. They're starting to get their stride in Tampa Bay at the midpoint way of the season. So it's up in the air for anybody. Obviously, the Bills are supposed to win this division based on what they did last year. Josh Allen is a better quarterback this year than he was last year. The last 2 weeks, he's kind of took a little hiccup the last 2 weeks. But you're going to get that. Even the great ones, you know, the Russell Wilsons and the Rodgers and Roethlisbergers and Brady, they all need their other teammates to help them out. But ever since I was there and ever since Jim Kelly retired, the Bills have been about the quarterback position. And it's about having that guy at the helm to lead your team, not only through the good times, but through the times that aren't so good. Look at what the Cardinals have done. Kyler Murray is an MVP candidate. They picked up D-Hop. That helps Kyler Murray. I think they're playing great football on both sides of the ball. They believe in themselves. They believe they can win games. So the Cardinals are not the Cardinals of the Cardinals 10 years ago anymore. And they believe that they can win the division. And it's going to be a fight down to the end between them, the Seahawks, and the Rams. I think that's the best division in football right now is the NFC West.
What do you make out of Larry Fitzgerald at this point of his career and just the whole body of work? When you watch Larry Fitzgerald, you're a Hall of Fame guy. Everybody said Fitz is heading to the doors. They'll open wide for him and he'll walk on in. Mm-hmm. But to see his body of work from start to where he is now, Andre, what mm-hmm. do you see?
Well, I think the first time Larry Fitzgerald put on a football uniform, he was destined to be a Hall of Famer. He just was that kind of guy. And I think when he was in college at Pitt, he was the go-to guy. And it didn't hurt that he had Dennis Green. We went to Minnesota, and he got to know Chris Carter real well and got to be around that atmosphere of the league. And that just, you know, helped him in his transition to the next level.
Yeah, the conversation is, will he stick around and try and pass Jerry? And that's been the conversation.
Well, I've said that. I've asked him that a few times.
Yeah, yeah. I think and everybody does.
He's lied to me, probably. But if anybody could do it, he can. I mean, that's – believe it or not, that's probably what most people are just talking to him about now. Mm-hmm. You know, you got this many yards, this many catches to be the all-time leader in receiving in NFL history. And as the years go on, he gets closer to a certain point. But, you know, Jerry, you thought Jerry's records were just unattainable. You know, what Jerry's done and just go, well, that's one record that won't be broken. But now you're looking at what Larry has done. You know, it could be possible, especially the way the game is now today.
Well,
maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah. Still productive, Andre. That's the thing. When they added Hopkins and they've got some other Christian Kirk and Andy Isabella, it's not like it's all falling on Larry. I've seen stretches here where he had quarterbacks that were going to get him decapitated and killed because they put him in harm's way. I would sit next to
– Well, he was the man. He was the number one guy.
I'd sit next to Fitz's dad, and Fitz's dad would be catching his breath because he's like, oh, I could see it coming. And now he's got a guy. He's got a guy. He had Carson Palmer. He had Kurt Warner. But he had a stretch there where it was, wow, if he had had quarterback play. Yeah.
So you're right. And he has, you know, Christian Kirk and D-Hop and Andy Isabella. And he's got guys. And not only – and I don't think in their meetings and in the way they scheme, you know, defenses aren't going to scheme for Larry Fitzgerald now like they did 6-7 years ago. They're scheming for DeAndre Hopkins. If we can stop him, we'll let Christian Kirk and all these. And Christian Kirk has had a pretty good season. Mm-hmm. So Larry can get 30 catches, 40 catches. That inches him closer. So I think he really likes it. He's been there for so long that, especially the last 4 or 5 years, he hasn't had that guy, that go-to guy that can help him on the outside or in the slot. So I'm sure he's pretty happy about that. And then Kyler Murray is playing, you know, tremendous football.
If you were talking with Larry, would you say go for it?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. There's only, you know, hey, he's healthy. I mean, how many games has he missed? Not too many.
No.
I don't even remember the last time Larry Fitzgerald didn't put on a uniform and suit up. So he has that form. The consistency has always been there since he's put on a Cardinals uniform. So it is it's possible it could be done, and he has all the people there, you know, to help him get there if that's what you know. He's a guy you just say, well, he can play as long as he wants, as long as he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate the time and the chat. Good luck with the tournament, and again, appreciate all the time. Thanks, Andre.
You got it, man. Appreciate it, guys. All right.
There's Andre Reed with us, Hall of Famer. Sports360AZ.com. We're back with more after this timeout.